St. Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Today is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoicing. But what if the circumstances in our life don't call for rejoicing? What with all the craziness that's going on in the world today, is this really a time to rejoice? With all of the suffering, with all of the what can ever happen in an individual's life, with health care, with the economy, whatever it might be, is this truly a time to rejoice? With the right understanding, yes, it is. Because we do not rejoice in the moment. We rejoice in the promise that is made by God for all of His children, a promise that we know is going to be fulfilled. Although we don't know the time, we don't know the day nor the hour, but it will be fulfilled. In our first reading, the Israelite people can teach us about this rejoicing. This reading from Zephaniah, shout, sing, be glad and exult. The Israelite people have suffered immensely. They had been to war and they had lost. They had been taken captivity and sold into slavery. Their hometown, Jerusalem, their temple, falling into disrepair. Many of them had been killed. But now a remnant has come home. And in this remnant, we see a reason for rejoicing. This promise that has been made is partially fulfilled with their return. It's partially fulfilled again and again and again. A large piece of this comes together when Christ is born, and that promise will be fulfilled in its entirety when He returns. But for those living at the time, it has been fulfilled. They are home, free from oppressors, and they rejoice because God is rejoicing in them. St. Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety. This is kind of a upbeat letter that St. Paul writes for someone stuck in prison. A situation most of us probably wouldn't find much to rejoice about. Paul doesn't know how long he'll be there. He doesn't know if he'll even get out. He's got some very serious things that may take his life. But he experiences peace because the Lord is near. It's not that His imminent return is near, but the Lord is near to him in his heart. This peace that Paul experiences comes from God, and it transcends the world. It transcends anything that can happen in our lives if we are close to Him. And it acts as a sentinel. It acts as a watchtower over anxiety for the world. Let the peace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ encompass your hearts. In the midst of being called to rejoice, we get this reading from St. John the Baptist calling us to penance. Do penance and rejoicing have anything in common? Again, if we understand where they lead, yes, they do. These people come to John. They've been called to repentance. They want to experience his baptism. And they examine their lives. So coming to John, what should we do? It's interesting to see what John doesn't tell them to do. He doesn't tell them to follow him out into the desert. He doesn't tell them to follow him in this life of austerity. He doesn't tell them to go to the temple and spend all day in prayer. He doesn't tell them to leave their jobs. He tells them to go home, to go back to their homes, go back to their families, and to do to others with a sense of concern for their dignity. To do these things with honesty and integrity. If you have two cloaks, give to the one who has none. If you have food, give to the one who doesn't. To the tax collector, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. To the soldiers, treat others as you would like them to be treated. Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your wages. When they heard these things, they were expecting a Messiah. And so they are wondering if John was the Messiah. So they come to him. Are you the Christ? And here we see the virtue of humility in John. He knows who he is. And he knows who he is not. One mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He is telling them, I am not worthy to do the job of the lowest slave of the entire household. as great as he was, doing all of the things that he did, the persuasiveness that John had in his speech, drawing people from the cities out into the wilderness. In that humility is John's greatness. This is what lies behind and beneath his rejoicing, leading others to repentance, leading others to the truth, pointing them to the Messiah. He knows that he is in the light, but he points them to the light. This Advent joy is what we are all called to when we follow that call of the Baptist, when we enter into that conversion of heart, when we enter into that metanoia, that total transformation of who we are. We come to a new sense of righteousness in front of God, a deeper relationship with the Holy Trinity, because this sense of repentance in the heart clears the way for God. When we die to ourselves, we make room for God to grow. The things that are not of God, the sin in our life, we lay these things at the foot of the cross. What should we do? This question echoes, I think, in our hearts today. And John's reply is right there for all. Give to those who have not. Do this with integrity. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Leave the old behind and begin to live lives as God is inviting us to live. This is where holiness begins. Doing these small acts of virtue with faithfulness, because this paves the way for greater acts of virtue when the opportunity comes. What should we do? We've got a great opportunity. Our Holy Father just last Tuesday announced the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. It goes until Christ the King, so it goes until the end of this liturgical year, at the end of next November. Taking John's advice into my family, taking his advice into my profession, taking his advice into my parish, to all of those around us. How can these small acts of mercy change me? How can they change my family? How can they change my parish, my town, my world? Advent is the time to see what can be by making what is better. It's a time of mercy and hope, confident in the choice and promise that God has made. His choice to forgive rather than to punish. His choice to adopt and not banish us. His choice not to shun us for our sin, but to become one of us in mercy and walk with us. His promise of a Messiah fulfilled in Jesus Christ, so that no matter what might be happening in the world, no matter what might be happening in my life, I can experience that peace and that presence, so that I can rejoice in the Lord who has come to live with us. These last 2 weeks of Lent, the people that come to John ask a question that we all need to ask. What should we do?